So today we're going to talk about the Holy Communion. And God's desire is for you to have health and wholeness through the Holy Communion. Now, the only way we're going to receive anything from God is to have a revelation of what He did. Amen? You know, we've been in pretty perilous times for a while, and it's important for us to know that we have the best medicine available through God for His protection and His healing and His wholeness. A really, really cool thing about the Holy Communion is you can receive your healing a little bit at a time. You don't have to muster up enough faith to receive a full-blown miracle all at once. You can receive it a little at a time. That's okay. The really neat thing about Jesus, if you notice Him in the Gospels, is He met people right where they were. If they needed Him to go to His house to lay hands on somebody, that was okay with Him. If you could believe Him for just like the Roman centurion, He just stood there on the street and said, all you got to do is just say your word. That was good enough for Him. He met people where they were. You know, He still does. You don't have to have supersonic faith to receive a miracle from God. You can receive it a little at a time. If that's where you're at, He'll meet you there. And that's why we're going to teach on the Holy Communion today, so people can receive His best. The first thing you need to understand about the Holy Communion is you're not going to receive judgment or damnation. That's something that's been taught in the church world, and that is not what God intended. God ordained the Holy Communion not as a ritual to be observed, but as a blessing to be received. The blessing of health and wholeness. When you hold the bread in your hand, you are coming in touch with the greatest expression of His love. One thing God intends us to do is follow directions. And He gave us specific directions on how to take communion. And He started with the body of Christ. And it's called matzah bread. Now, in order for us to properly take communion, we need to identify and discern what happened to Jesus in His sacrifice, in His passion. God gave us this matzah bread, not rice wafers, matzah bread. He did it on purpose. Now, we'll get into that a little more as we go, but I just wanted to point this out to you. You can see something in this. One of the things about the body of Christ, when He went through His passion, He had stripes on His back. He was beaten and bruised in exchange for our healing. The wine is not just forgiveness, but you have been made forever righteous, holy, and blameless by the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus could do that. Next to being saved from hell or eternal destruction, divine health is the greatest blessing you can have. You know, a friend of mine, he worked in an oil field, and he ran these vacuum trucks, and he went on this one particular ranch. When they drilled a well, when they got done, they had to go suck up all the fluids out of the pit, then they had to go liquefy all the tailings and suck all those up, then they had to squeegee the pits up and all this, get it all cleaned up. But he was down in this mud and this muck up to his belly, pulling all this stuff up into his truck. And the guy that owned the well, a very rich man, came up to him and said, "Son, I would give anything to be able to do what you're doing." He was vastly wealthy and not healthy enough to enjoy it, not strong enough to do anything with it. All the riches in the world would do you no good if you don't have health in your body. See, God wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be strong and vibrant. Now here's something. Did you know that Jesus did not walk around walking on water all the time? He didn't walk on water all the time. He did not calm storms all the time, but he did heal all the time, everyone, everywhere. Anybody that reached out to him in faith got healed. Now, sometimes he cast the devil out of somebody and they got healed. Sometimes he forgave somebody and they got healed. When you understand that you're forgiven, it's a whole lot easier to receive the blessings of God. God's nature is to heal. I want you to look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Sometimes people get confused about the nature of God. And I hear it all the time. They're afraid, you know, they made a mistake. They're afraid that God's going to strike them with the sickness. I actually talked to a man that said God gave him a stroke so he'd become a preacher. That's not God. He doesn't strike anybody with sicknesses and diseases to teach them a lesson. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Right there, it tells us where these sicknesses come from the devil. Remember, John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's from the devil. You know, sickness is stealing your health, right? That's from the devil. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's from the devil. It's oppression from the devil. And Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, we got to get that through our hearts, but we got to get it in our, we got to get it through our head, but we got to get it in our hearts, most importantly. We got to have a revelation that God is on our side. He's not against us. He doesn't want us sick. Jesus went through all of his passion, through all of this stuff on the cross, took all of our sicknesses, all of our sins upon him so that we could be healed. We need to understand that. When God brought the children out of Egypt, he made sure that none of them were sick. You know, in Psalm chapter 5, verse 37, it says, there was none feeble among them. How did that happen? These guys had been oppressed for a long time. These guys had been underfed, overworked. They had been beaten. You had to know, some of them had been beaten to the point of lameness. Some of them were sick. Some of them were in terrible shape. But when they left Egypt, there were none feeble. Something happened. Something very profound happened. They partook of the Lord's body. Partaking of the Lord's body brings healing. The Bible gives one and only one reason that Christians are weak and sick and die prematurely. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." You know, he says, for this reason. Only one reason. He didn't say reasons. He said, for this one reason. Because they do not discern the Lord's body. Now, they didn't know why they were taking the bread, partaking of the body. They were not receiving the divine life of the Savior. Since truth is parallel, if we do discern the Lord's body, we will walk in health and wholeness. See, it's one thing to just take the bread and eat it, and then take the wine and drink it. But when you look at it and you do it on purpose, and you identify the different things that happened to the body of Christ, you see the different things that he went through in his passion. You see, you take a specific look at that bread and identify these different things about that sacrifice, then you start receiving of his wholeness. But these guys evidently didn't know why they were taking the bread. Now here's the thing, let's look back here at this verse, because this is a verse that tears a lot of people up. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now I had been taught that when you take communion, you need to ask God to forgive you of all your sins before you do that, or you're going to take damnation unto yourself. Well, I was trying as hard as I could. So I was asking God to forgive me of everything I could think of before I took communion. And the more I went through this, the harder it got, the more frustrated I got, the more I didn't want to participate in the communion. Finally, I just stopped. Because I could see every day how I failed. How many of us have been there? You know, thank God I ran into that verse, 1 John 1:7, that says, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. That was a revolutionary thing to me. That set me free. Here's another thing. We have to understand that when Jesus got on the cross, he took all of our sins. And he forgave us of all of our sins. And the blood of Jesus washed us clean. So for us to continually ask God to forgive us of our sins, we're not understanding what Jesus did on the cross. He did it. He forgave us. We have to understand that we are forgiven. You know, the paralytic man, they let him down through the tiles of the roof. He couldn't walk. And they couldn't get to Jesus. And they let him down through the tiles of the roof. He was on his mat, and they let him down there. And Jesus said, "You are forgiven." And he got up and walked away. You see how much impact understanding forgiveness has on a person? See, Jesus could have just said, "Be healed." He could have said that. But that's not what the man needed. I know the man needed healing, but what got him to his healing was understanding that he was forgiven. Praise God. We need to understand that we are truly forgiven. We've all heard about what not to eat, special diets. You know, that's all natural means. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, There's a lot of emphasis put on diet. But you need to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to know something about Jesus. He was around a lot of people that were under this Mediterranean diet or the kosher food deal. Did you know that Jesus healed a lot of people that were on the Mediterranean diet? By all means, eat good, exercise, but trust the Lord for your wholeness and health. See, these guys, they didn't eat any of the things they weren't supposed to. They only ate the things they were supposed to. And Jesus had to heal a lot of those people. It's not your diet. We're supposed to trust in the Lord for our health and our healing. Now, that doesn't mean that you just go crazy and do whatever you think you need to do. But don't let anybody push you around telling you you can't eat this and you can't eat that. I can understand a Jewish person telling me I shouldn't eat a pig. I can understand that. They don't believe in it. That's okay. What bugs me is when I run into somebody in the Word of Faith circles that tells me that I shouldn't eat pork, that I shouldn't eat catfish. I actually had a Word of Faith preacher, I went out to eat with them, and they had catfish with crawfish etouffee. So that's what I ordered. And they had tilapia. They said, you shouldn't eat that. And I said, I'm going to eat every bottom feeder that crosses my path. And I'm going to eat pig meat till the day I die. Says God has made it all clean. And I don't care what you say, you're not dragging me into any Old Testament rules. That made them mad. They said, well, they're the filter of the earth. Well, whatever. So I was watching TV one day. They had dirty jobs. And this guy said, we're going to a tilapia farm. I thought, well, how dirty could a tilapia farm be? It was a sewage treatment facility. And they used the tilapia to clean the solids out of the sewage. And then they sent them, you know, they did whatever they had to do with them. Then they sent them to the market. And I thought, holy cow, I'll stay with my catfish. So the guy, one day, we were driving down the road, and they had been digging on me for eating catfish and pig meat and whatever else I ate. We were driving down the road, and there was a sewage treatment facility down the road, and I said, look, a tilapia farm. That shut him up. It's not your diet. Trust in the Lord for your healing and wholeness. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Religious people have a hard time with me, in case you haven't noticed. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. See, these guys majored on the important thing. They steadfastly took it. They majored on the communion. And look what happened here. Verse 43 says, fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. These guys came into agreement, and they continually went from house to house breaking bread. This is good news. You can take the elements to your house and take communion. You don't have to have me. You don't have to have anybody else. Jesus said, take this as often as you will. I mean, you don't have to wait for Sunday. You don't have to wait for the third Sunday of the month. You don't have to wait for Sunday morning. You can take it every day. In fact, you could, you know, if you get in serious trouble and you get a real serious attack on your body, you could take it in the morning. You could take it at noon. You could take it in the evening. You know, if you got attacked with something and you went to the doctor and the doctor says, you need to take this pill at 6 in the morning with a banana, at noon with a banana, and at 6 in the evening with an apple, I'll bet you, you get up at 6 in the morning, take that pill with a banana, take that pill at noon with a banana, and take that pill at 6 o'clock in the evening with an apple. And he's just a man. The Lord Jesus himself told us to take it as often as you will. But he did. Paul did tell us to discern the body of Christ. This is where people miss it. One of the things, when I was in Bible school, they told us to go to different churches and don't say anything. Don't tell them who you are. Just go to different churches and just follow along. See how different people do things. So one of the things is communion. I got noticing that everybody had a different way of doing communion. Some of them wouldn't even let me take communion. Then I'd ask, I'd say, why do you take communion? And I had all kinds of different ideas on why you took communion. But nobody ever sat down and told me, said it's for our health and our wholeness, for our healing. I never once seen anybody discern the body of Christ. I never once had anybody take a piece of matzo bread and point out that this bread is made without yeast. That's important. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never once made a mistake ever in his life. We have sin in our blood. Just the very fact that we have Adam's blood coursing through our veins means we have contaminated blood. But not Jesus, because he didn't have Adam's blood in him. He had the blood of God in him. Had. He shed it all. He let it all go. Also, if you'll notice, this bread has been pounded flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus was beaten and bruised for our, he was beaten for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions are sins that we committed when we knew they were sin. We knew it was wrong before we did it. And he forgave us for it anyway. Our iniquities are sins that we commit when we don't really know it's a sin. We just did it. And if you look, there's stripes in this bread. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. You know, Jesus, when they took him to the whipping post to be scourged, It was a bloody, vicious event. It was a horrible thing. They had a cat of nine tails. And this was a whip that had several strands of leather on it. And it had, you know, it had pieces of bone or pieces of metal or pieces of glass weaved into it. So that when they hit you on the back with it, it would sink in. But then they would drag it across your back so it would rip your flesh, your skin. That's why Jesus said it was like the plowers dug furrows across his back. It was a horrible, horrible thing. And according to the law, he was only supposed to take 39 stripes because they figured that 40 would kill you. I'm not sure how Roman soldiers would have been following the law. But here's the thing. Modern day science has figured out that there's basically 39 root causes for diseases. Imagine that. Jesus paid for each one of them. He even paid for diseases that the devil hasn't even invented yet. He paid for all of it. But we need to discern the body of Christ. Before partaking, when we realize and recognize that the Holy Communion is God's channel of health and wholeness for His people, we will be healthy, strong, and live long. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many fall asleep." So the body and the blood are not treated as one. You must know that the wine, the blood, is forgiveness, and the body is healing. One thing about the blood of Christ, the Bible tells us that we've been justified freely by His grace. See, you can't be justified until you've been judged first. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we've been justified. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that you've been made, the Bible, here's what it says, "For he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." See, Jesus never made a mistake. He never sinned once. He took all of our sins upon him on the cross. And because of his shed blood, Jesus, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Which means we have been put in right standing with him. That's good news. Whatever was wrong between us and God before we got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. You're forever righteous. So that's how we discern the body of Christ. We look in there and we see where the bread has been pierced. See, Jesus' body was pierced more than just once with the Roman. When the Roman soldier thrust a spear in his side, he was certainly pierced. But did you know that his forehead got pierced? They put a crown of thorns on him. He was pierced and he shed blood. Do you know that his hands were pierced? And when his hands were pierced, he shed blood. And when his feet were pierced, he shed blood. Jesus never did anything by accident. He never did anything to fill a chapter in the Bible. He did everything on purpose for a reason. Every time. I'm still going to do this. I just haven't got around to it. But I'm going to order the Stations of the Cross, and they're going on the wall. Because everywhere that Jesus shed his blood was on purpose. And when he did, we get redemption in some area. But see, we're not going to know something we don't, we're not going to receive something we don't know about. See, if we don't know why he shed blood out of his hands, we're not going to receive the benefit of it. Now, are we? If we don't know why he shed blood out of his scalp, we're not going to be able to receive the benefit. But for now, it's important for us to know that because he shed blood out of his back and by his stripes, we were healed. Now, if you notice, you look at this bread, you'll see that it's slightly burned. There was a particular event during the crucifixion of Christ. He was on the cross. And he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" See, God had actually turned his face away from Jesus. And that was the first time that Jesus ever addressed him as God. Every other time he addressed him as Father. Because all of the sins of the whole world was laid on Jesus. God had to turn his face away from him because he could not look upon sin. And it said the world went dark. Because Jesus was rejected, we're accepted. Because God turned his face from Jesus. Know this, he'll never turn his face from you. The full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. Think about this for just a minute. In all of the passion of Christ, everything that he went through, everything that he did was for us. He took all of our sins, he took all of our sicknesses, he took everything upon himself. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. That's grace. That's grace. So according to God's directions, this bread needed to be unleavened, free from sin. It needed to be baked, represents the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. It needed to be pierced, so we can identify the different places Jesus' body was pierced. And it had to have stripes, because it's by his stripes we were healed. As you partake of this broken body, know that his body was broken so that yours could be whole. We're going to pass these elements out. I want you to specifically look at these different places, these different things that we just identified about the body of Christ. I want you to imagine with me, if you will, Jesus going through his passion. See him getting rejected by the people. See him getting beaten and bruised. See him getting dragged down. See the street. Imagine, use your imagination. See him carrying his cross. See him going through his scourging. Picture him getting nailed to the cross. See everything, but most importantly, see all of your sins and all of your sicknesses on him. So, Father, we're taking this broken body of Jesus in remembrance of him, and we receive your healing and your wellness, your wholeness from this Holy Communion. And we thank you for it, for everything Jesus did for us. That blood of Jesus is so pure. I don't know if you've noticed, but when you cut your hand and you bleed, your blood will dry up. You notice that? Anybody in here that doesn't have blood that dries up, I want you to talk to me right after the service. Our blood gets dry because it dies, because it's sin contaminated. Amen? Don't worry about it. You've been forgiven of that by the blood of Jesus. His blood does not die. His blood is the blood of God. It has no sin in it whatsoever. His blood is still doing what God sent it to do. It's still forgiving. It's still healing. It's still protecting. We thank you, Father, because of the blood of Jesus, we can come boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And we thank you, Father, that because of the blood of Jesus, that we are in right standing with you. And Father, we thank you for your blood as it protects us every day, and it continually continues to wash away our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. We have snacks and coffee back here in fellowship. And Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you that as we worship you in spirit and in truth, we get more and more revelation of you and Jesus and what you did for us, what Jesus did for us in his death, burial, and his resurrection, and what he's continually doing for us as our high priest, as he stands at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, his saints, causing us to be in the right place at the right time so that right things can happen to us. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, come back and have some snacks. There's some good homemade chili back there. Fellowship.